Genesis chapter 8, and I would like to draw your attention to a few things from this chapter of God's Word, thinking especially of verse 22 this morning. Now, we didn't take time to read it all this morning, but if we did, we would have noticed when we look at Genesis chapter 8, how that it is a chapter which is dealing with the aftermath of the flood. Now, the Lord had judged the world in sending a global flood to wipe out every living creature because of the sin of man. And God had preserved for himself a remnant. God had preserved for himself Noah and his family in the ark. And the ark, my friend, this morning is a wonderful picture to us of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how the wrath of God came upon this world in the form of a flood, and how that in the time and to come in the future, God's wrath will be poured out upon this world again. And my friend, if you're not in Christ this morning, then there's no safety. There's no refuge from the coming judgment and wrath of God. But thank God, dear child of God, this morning, that each and every one of us here saved and know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Savior. We are in Christ this morning. We're no longer under condemnation, but we have been redeemed with that precious blood. And God, not only did God preserve a people back in the days of Noah, but God has for himself today a people preserved for himself. And just as God judged the world all those years ago, we must warn you, my friend, that the world is going to be judged again in the not too distant future. I don't know when it's going to happen, but the Lord is going to come again, and the Lord is going to judge sin once and for all by his darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why, my friend, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, it's imperative upon you today that you will be saved and that you will be ready to meet God, for one day you will meet him, either as your Savior or as your judge. And thank God, dear child of God, we will meet him someday as our Savior. Now, Noah was approximately 601 years of age when he and his family exited the ark. Now, we're told that the Lord had sent the rain, and that the rain was upon the earth for over 150 days. But yet, in the goodness and mercy of God, God sent the wind and blew the water away, and that the water started to recede. And then Noah and his family were able to exit the ark and then onto the dry ground, and that they were able to go forth and to multiply, and the animals as well. And I want us to notice firstly this morning, because there is a number of lessons for us to learn. And I want to speak to you this morning upon the message that the harvest shall not cease. Harvest shall not cease. And when we speak upon this message this morning, I want to think specifically of God's blessings for the nations. God's blessings for the nations. But the first thought I want to leave with you this morning, we see the first point I want to bring to you is found in verse 20. And that is that the sacrifices that were offered. Notice there in verse 20, the Bible tells us, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord." And here we see this morning Noah's act of worship. Noah's act of worship. Now, this is the very first point I want to bring to you this morning, because as believers here, it is very important, and believer or unbeliever here this morning, it's very important that we see here that Noah, once he exited the ark, he came and he worshipped God in God's appointed way. And it says here that he built an altar unto the Lord, and there he offered sacrifices or burnt offerings unto God. Now, why did Noah do this? Why was this the first thing he did as soon as he exited the ark? Well, you see here, Noah was being an obedient follower of God. And he was thankful to the Lord for the Lord's preserving hand upon him throughout his whole situation. Before the flood came upon the world, and God spoke to Noah and commanded him to make that ark of gopher wood. And as Noah built the ark with his family, and as the people round about stood and laughed at Noah and mocked him, you know, the Bible tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And Noah preached to the people to repent, for God's judgment was coming. And even that symbol, that the physical representation of the ark, as the people seen it being built, that was a warning to the people that God's judgment was coming, and that God had made preparation in the form of the ark, and how the ark was going to be the means to save his people. And yet the people round about Noah and his family, they mocked and they laughed and they jeered, and they scorned Noah and they mocked God. But yet God did send the flood. God did send the judgment, and those people had all that time, over 100 years, to repent as Noah started to build the ark. And yet they did not repent. They would not turn to the Lord from their sin. But we see here, when Noah offered up these burnt offerings, these sacrifices unto the Lord, he was thankful for God's preserving hand. And brethren and sisters, that this morning, that ought to encourage our hearts, that even in this time of COVID-19, that the Lord will preserve his people, and the Lord will keep his hand upon his people, no matter what difficulties, no matter what circumstances that each and every one of us go through in our personal lives, no matter what this nation of ours is going through at this present time, when we see numbers of cases and rates of infections increasing, and yet our politicians, those in authority over us, are worried. Well, dear child of God, we ought not to be worried. Yes, we ought to be wise. We ought to heed the rules. We ought to heed the advice that is given to us by government. But we ought not to fear. We ought not to be afraid, because God has saved us not to be afraid. God has saved us not to have a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. And here Noah was thankful to the Lord for his preservation upon him and his family in the ark. But we also notice, if you turn back with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We see here that this theme of sacrifice, this theme of a covering, was instituted by the Lord in the garden. And we see here in Genesis chapter 3 in the verse 21. And it says there, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." And then if we turn over to Genesis 4 and the verse 4, we see there, and it says, "And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." Brothers and sisters, this morning, this shows us clearly how that God had provided, he sacrificed an animal in the garden to cover the sin of Adam and Eve, that the blood of an innocent animal had to be shed for the skins to be provided for Adam and Eve. And then when Cain and Abel came and offered their offerings unto the Lord, and we are told there that the Lord had respect unto Abel's offering. That is because Abel brought of the firstlings, he brought of the very best of his flock and sacrificed it unto the Lord. Its blood was shed, and yet the Lord did not have respect unto Cain's sacrifice, because Cain's offering was an unbloody sacrifice. It was of the fruit of his own hands, and that's why the Lord did not respect Cain's offering, because there was no blood shed. And that is how that is the only way that we can come to God this morning. That is the only way a sinner can come to Christ. It is upon the basis of the precious shed blood that our Savior shed at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. And that is why fallen man needs a blood sacrifice to satisfy God's justice, that his moral law would be fulfilled. The Lord Jesus Christ died in the sinner's place as a sinner's substitute. He shed his precious blood for the sins of his people, dying there in our guilty room instead. And then, praise the Lord, rising again on the third day as the great victor over death and hell, as the one who satisfied his Father's holy and legal justice for his people. Now, Noah, he was the head of his home, And he was the one that built the altar upon the ground and offered the sacrifice. And yes, we are told that Noah, he did find grace in the sight of God. Genesis 6 and verse 8 tells us that. But my friend, this morning, Noah was a sinner just like you or I. And even though Noah had found grace in the sight of God, it didn't mean that Noah was sinlessly perfect, or that Noah was one who lived a perfect life without sin. Noah had to offer a sacrifice upon the altar for his sin and for the sins of his people. And here Noah points us again to Christ. Christ who offered up that sacrifice for us. And how that Noah offered up that burnt sacrifice. And it says there that he took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and by faith he offered up the burnt offerings upon the altar. That word clean there carries the thought of being ceremonially clean or pure before the Lord. And again, here's another reminder of how our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, was sinlessly pure before God our Father. Though he became fully man like us, yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man, the one person with those two natures, our humanity and God divinity, and those two natures in the one person. But yet, my friend, this morning, he knew no sin. Neither could he sin because he's God. But notice here, not only do we see here the worship that Noah offered up, but we see here also the worship that was accepted. It says here that when he had offered these sacrifices unto God, we see the next verse there in the verse 21, and it says, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savour, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done." And here we see here that the Lord had smelled a sweet savour. If you have a Bible with a margin in it, it possibly will say that in the Hebrew, this means a savour of rest. And that signifies to us this morning that God's justice, his legal and holy justice, was satisfied when these clean animals were sacrificed, because Noah had offered up the very best of what he had in the ark with him. He didn't offer up any old lame animal or any bird that was sick or had a mark upon it, but yet he offered up of the very best of those birds, of those animals that he had with him in the ark. And that points us to God giving his very best for us. And so as Christians this morning, we ought to give the Lord our very best. No matter how young or how young at heart we are here this morning, we ought to give the Lord our very best in living for him and serving him. It says here, the Lord smelt a sweet savour. And oh, how his justice was satisfied. How the Lord was satisfied. And thank God today, dear Christian, we can look to our Saviour today, who satisfied the justice of God for us. And that because the Saviour satisfied the justice of God for us. And that there's nothing we need to do. There's nothing we can add to or take away from what Christ has done for us. Because God's justice has been satisfied once and for all. Praise his holy name. And we can look to our Saviour today who's in the heavens, Jesus Christ, who sat down at the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives to make intercession for us, his people. The one who was that sacrifice. The one who was the very one who was offering up himself that sacrifice upon the cross as our great high priest on our behalf. But also we see here in this next verse, secondly, I want to bring to your attention this morning the promises that were made. Now we see here, from verses 21 to 22, it says there, "And the Lord smelt the sweet savour, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every evil thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." We see here the Lord made a number of promises to Moses and to his family. Promises which still stand to us today as believers. The Lord had promised before him, before Noah and his family, that upon his justice being satisfied and his wrath being turned away, that Noah could approach unto God, and that Noah worshipped God in God's appointed and proper manner, and that God, because Noah had obeyed God in approaching him upon the ground of the blood sacrifice, that God was going to bless him. And brethren and sisters, that speaks to us this morning, for all of us who are saved and walking with the Lord, that if we want to be blessed in our lives by the Lord, then we have to come to him upon the ground of redemption, upon his appointed way. And if we're saved and walking with him and want the blessing of God, we ought to be obedient to his word this morning. We ought to be following the Lord Jesus Christ. As the hymn writer says, follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I will follow on. And my friend, the Lord will never leave you, or the Lord will never lead you outside the will of God, and he'll never lead you contrary to the word of God. If you want to know the will of God for your life this morning, open the Bible and pray over it, and the Lord will lead you by his Holy Spirit through his word. And you know, these promises flow into the blessings that God would bestow upon this world this morning. But we see here, first of all, that the first promise that God made here is that he would not curse the ground anymore. And this was because after the fall in the Garden of Eden, God cursed the ground because of man's sin. And now, because the Lord had punished humanity, he had sent that flood in righteous judgment over the sins of the people, and because his justice was now satisfied, he then promises that he will no longer curse the ground again by sending a global flood upon it. And that little phrase there in verse 21, for man's sake, some commentators believe that this is in reference to the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that Noah is a type of or a pointer to Christ as the one who offered up the sacrifice to satisfy God's justice. So the curse of the law has been removed, and his people have been redeemed with the precious blood, and so there is no need for the ground to be cursed again. You know, it tells us in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 that the Lord Jesus Christ was cursed for us. And praise God, dear child of God, there's no curse for us, because our Saviour bore the curse. Our Saviour bled and died in our guilty room instead. And because he did that for us, he removed the guilt that we have. He removed the curse of the broken law on our behalf. And because God had cursed the ground before, because of the wickedness and depravity of man's heart, we see that there in Genesis 6 in the verse 5. Turn with me there back, please, to Genesis 6 and verse 5. And that is the very reason why the Lord judged the world at that time. Because it says there, and it repented the Lord. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was very great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And don't we see that around us today, brethren and sisters, men and women? We see here that every imagination of thought of man's heart is only evil towards God. When we think of all these laws that they're passing, and the promotion of sin, whether that be sodomy or transgenderism or adultery or fornication or whatever the sin may be, we see here, sadly, our land is slipping down and down further and further the road to a lost eternity in hell. And yet they're calling what God calls evil good, and they're calling what God calls good evil. Such is the depravity of man's heart. You see, it's the very same today as it has been in the days of Noah. They were eating and they were drinking and they were giving in marriage until the very day that Noah and his family went into the ark. And so, brethren and sisters, when we see the wickedness of man abounding today, we ought to be upon our knees seeking the Lord, that the Lord would intervene, that the Lord would in wrath remember mercy. And oh, how our land needs God's intervention today. And yes, our land is ripe and fit for judgment. But thank God today we present to you a God who's a God of grace and a God of mercy. But oh, sinner friend in the meeting this morning, do not presume on the mercy of God lasting forever. If God is speaking to your heart this morning and you're not right with God, if you're not saved, oh, then you need to come to him today. Turn from your sin and trust in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there is mercy with the Lord. I can say that because the Lord's been very merciful to me. And I'm sure, brothers and sisters, if I was to go around this car park and to ask you individually, you could testify to the grace and to the mercy of the Lord even in your own life. But we see here that the Lord would not curse the ground again in this way, but he also said there that he wouldn't smite the living creatures. And this signifies to us that the living creatures would no longer be wiped out by a global flood. Now that does not mean that God would never judge the world again, because we've seen there in Genesis how the Lord had judged Sodom and Gomorrah, and how that the Lord had rained fire and brimstone upon those cities because of their wickedness and because of their pride. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, please. Second Peter chapter 3, and I want to read the verse 7 to you to bring to your attention. And it says there in 2 Peter 3 in the verse 7, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." And while the Lord the first time judged this world righteously by sending a global flood, next time he's going to judge the world in fire. And my friend, the Lord is going to pour out his wrath upon this earth. And this world will someday pass away. And my friend, that's imperative upon you this morning to be ready and to be saved, because someday God will burn this world up. And when we think of how men and women are building, they're building for the future, and they're looking to the future, and they're building thinking that they're going to be here for all eternity. We think of those two young girls who tragically lost their lives in recent weeks. And we think of how young they were. They had their whole life ahead of them, we would say. But yet in a moment, they were ushered out into God's eternity. And my friend, there again is a warning to us that we cannot presume to be here till next year, or to live till we're 70 or 80 years of age. Every day is a gift. Every breath that we receive from the Lord is a gift. And that is why it's imperative upon us that we do not waste the opportunities that we have today. You do not waste this opportunity, friend, as you hear the word of God preached again this morning, that you would not reject the Lord Jesus Christ, but oh, that you would come to him. And oh, dear brethren and sisters this morning, that we would not neglect these opportunities to tell others about their need to be saved, to live our lives in obedience to God and to his will, as testimonies, as living Bibles, we may say, because we may be the only Bibles that the unsaved around about us may ever read. And our lives ought to point to the Lord Jesus Christ. But lastly, I want you to notice with me this morning the blessings that we enjoy today. And that is where I want to turn us to verse 22 and to consider for the remaining moments of this service. Now we see here today, it is because of the goodness, the love and the mercy of Almighty God that we are able to be here today in health and strength and enjoying the good weather. Now I'm sure each and every one of us have had a lovely breakfast this morning, and we're anticipating our lovely Sunday dinner when we get home in the will of the Lord. But all of these things have come from the goodness and the bounty and the provision of the Lord. We're thinking of harvest at this time and how the Lord has blessed us richly and abundantly. Oh yes, we have been through one of the most strangest years in our lifetime with this COVID pandemic. But yet, brethren and sisters, men and women, boys and girls this morning, we can truly say that God has been good to us, that God has provided for us, God has met our each and every need, God has preserved us in health and strength, God has provided raiment for us to wear, God has provided food for us to eat, God has provided financial security for us to pay our bills and to be in our homes and to have our means of transport this morning. But we see here in creation that God set everything in order. And here we see that he continued to bless in physical life, and that we would be sustained, and that each and every one of our needs would be met. Notice there in verse 22, the elements that he set in order. The elements. And this is because we read in this verse that when God was stating that the earth was going to remain, and that while it does not say there that there will never be the promise, but God does promise that there will be a harvest. And praise God, we've had a harvest this year. Despite the inclement weather that we're used to in Northern Ireland, despite the many days of wet, of rainfall, yet the Lord has still provided a harvest. The barley has still been gathered in, the wheat has still been reaped, the potatoes have still been gathered, the vegetables as well, still being gathered at this time. And yet each and every one of us have had our needs met physically. And praise God, dear Christian, the Lord has met your greatest need. He's met my greatest need, the need of my soul's salvation. But we see here in the elements that it is the responsibility. There is that responsibility upon the farmer or the gardener to go out and to sow their seed. You know, if the farmer didn't go out and prepare his ground for the seed to be sown, if he did not set the drills in order for the potatoes to be planted, if he hadn't ploughed and para-harrowed the ground and prepared it for the barley or the wheat to be sown, or the gardener to go out and to prepare for the plants to be sown or the fruit to be established, well then there wouldn't be a harvest. And so that's why it's imperative upon the farmer or the gardener, even as Christians, it's imperative upon us to keep sowing the gospel seed, that greatest seed, that seed which can be sown in all seasons, despite the difficulty, despite the challenges that there is. Praise God, even through this pandemic, the gospel seed has been sowed forth plentifully and faithfully, not only by this church, but by every other faithful gospel preaching church in our province. And here the Lord had sent the elements, because it is the elements that were needed for the seed to grow. And as the Lord sent the heat and the cold and the sunshine and the rain for the seed to grow, and we've seen that this year, how that the farmers, they went and they prepared the ground and sowed the seed, and that the Lord was gracious, and that the Lord foreordained it, that the elements would be there for the crops to grow, and that each and every one of us would have food enough and to eat. And once it has been established that the Lord, he sent the heat, he sent the light, and he sent the water that was involved for the seed to grow. And you know, dear brethren and sisters, this morning, that's an encouragement to us as we keep sowing the gospel seed, that the Lord will send his Holy Spirit and do that work upon the hearts and lives of men and women and boys and girls, that seed of the gospel would take forth root and grow, and that it would bring forth a mighty harvest. Isaiah chapter 55 and tells us that God's word will not return unto him void, and we can keep clinging on to that promise. It will not return unto him void. But not only do we notice here the elements, but we also notice here that the Lord had set in place the seasons. And we see here that he made that provision in creating the different seasons of the year, from the springtime where we see the evidence of new life emerging and of growth, to the summertime where there is that time of more pleasant weather and opportunity to reap the harvest that has been sown in the springtime. And then we enter into the autumn months where we see that the harvest has been safely gathered in, till we see the slowing down of the growth of the plants as we approach into the winter months, that colder weather setting in, and where some plants have died off, and already life won't return again until the springtime. Yet we can see that in these different seasons of the year, while the farmer cannot sow the seeds in the middle of December if he's looking to reap a harvest, but yet we can still keep sowing the gospel seed in the springtime and the summertime, in the autumn time and the winter time. There's no restriction, there's no hindrance to the sowing of this great seed of the gospel. It can be sown at every opportunity that we get. But not only do we see the elements and the seasons, but we see here that the Lord set in place day and night. He promised that there would be a day and night as well. And he mentions here how that the sun will rise in the morning to give us light. And then the sun will set, and then the moon will come, ushering in the night time. And that sets a good pattern for us, that how the Lord has given us the day to work, and the day to work physically, to labour in our job, but also the night to come as well, in which we can rest from our labours, in which we can recharge the batteries, as it were, for the following day. And here's a picture for us, brethren and sisters, that not only is the seed of the gospel to be sown, that it can be sown in all seasons, but there is that reminder that the night is coming. There's a night coming for each and every one of us where we will no longer to be able to sow. The night is coming, the Bible says, in which no man can work. And so that is why it's imperative that we keep sowing the gospel seed. That is why it's imperative as believers that we keep living our lives to the glory and honour of the Lord, that we live it in obedience to his will as people who have been saved by his grace, because the night is coming. Someday the sun's going to set in my life. I don't know when that is going to be. And neither do you know, dear friend, when your time on this earth will be finished. But praise God, I know that for myself and for every child of God, it'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord, because we have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And someday we will go to be with Christ, which is far better. And that is why, my friend, the night is coming. And do not presume upon another opportunity. If you're not a Christian, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, I'm not here today to present to you our denomination. I'm not here today to present to you a creed or a preacher. Oh, but I want to point you afresh today to the only Savior of sinners, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the night is coming, my friend, when your opportunity to be saved will be over. And that is why you ought to come to Christ today, while you still can. We've noticed this morning God's provision for us. And yes, even though this year has been a very strange and difficult year for many, sadly many have lost their loved ones this year, not only due to the pandemic, but through different circumstances as well. And we pray for those who have lost loved ones. We think of this family that has been mentioned, the Burke family. We pray that the Lord would comfort them and sustain them at this their time of mourning and grief. But yet, brothers and sisters, we can thank the Lord for his goodness. No matter what difficulties we may be going through in our individual lives, no matter what difficult days may lie ahead for our province and for our nation, but yet we can thank the Lord for his blessings to us. We can see that the sacrifice that was offered. We can look again back to Calvary and what the Lord Jesus Christ did for guilty, hell-deserving sinners like you and I. And how that Noah pointed us to Christ. And how that Noah offered up that sacrifice of burnt offerings upon the altar in obedience to God's word. Because that was the only way he could come to God. That was the only way he could worship God aright. And that is why as believers this morning we can worship God upon the ground of Christ's redemptive work upon the cross. And how he, the sinless Savior, he took our place as our substitute upon the cross. And there he bore the wrath of Almighty God for our sins upon the tree. And he paid our debt of sin in full. And yet we see here, because of the basis of that sacrifice, we have the promises of God. Thank God, dear child of God, there's many promises in the Bible for us. Think of that lovely promise in Hebrews chapter 13, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will never leave thee, and I will never forsake thee. And even in 1 John chapter 5 there, and the verse 12, and those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be saved. And we can have that full assurance of God's salvation. because we're trusting, we're resting upon Christ and upon his finished work upon the cross. But may I say, my friend, this morning, if you're not saved, there is that promise of eternal ruin and eternal destruction for those who know not the Savior. But yet, you can claim that promise if you will come to Christ this morning, that he will save you for time and for eternity, that he will never leave you, my friend. He will never forsake you. Oh yes, at times as Christians, we feel that the Lord's presence is not as close as we would like it. But yet the Lord has never abandoned us. The Lord never will abandon us. The Lord never will leave his people. Just as he never left Noah and his family in the ark. Yet the sovereign hand of God preserved him through that flood. And that great ark. And that great ark points us to Christ. And despite the storms, despite all the rain, at that time of God's judgment upon the world, and yet God preserved his people. The Lord will preserve us, dear Christian, this morning through this pandemic. The Lord will preserve us. And one day the Lord will take us to be with himself for all eternity. Not only do we see here the sacrifice that was offered, not only do we see here the promises that were made, but praise God, we have the blessings that we enjoy today. We're in the autumn season now. We've in the lovely weather of a lovely September, October morning. And yet that is because God has promised it. He said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest. We've had that seed time. We've had that harvest. We've had that cold and heat and summer and winter. And day and night shall not cease. And praise God, that promise will keep being fulfilled right until this world is going to be finished in God's time. That when that end of the age will come, and God's promise will still be very real and will be made and kept right until that very point. And that is why it's imperative upon us as believers to keep living our lives for the glory and honour of the Lord Jesus Christ. Living lives that bring glory and honour to his name. Living lives that point to our Saviour, that do not point to yourselves or our so-called affiliations, no, that point us to, or point those who know not the Saviour, point us and point them to him. Oh, that they would see the Lamb of God. As John of old said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And my friend, praise God, he can take away your sin today. He can cleanse your sin away in the precious blood that he shed upon the cross over 2,000 years ago. And that is why, because of the precious shed blood, dear Christian, that we can come into God's presence this morning and that we can worship him aright.